I was through a sort of football in any sport that you could think of. And mostly something to do with the ball. And then every start of the year we had athletics like high schools, right? So we had this color sport and then you take part in everything that you do, but I sort of always focused on my strengths because I'm very competitive. So there's no very half there. It's all out. You've got to win. But then when we got to matric, a couple of buddies of mine said, but now it's our last year at school, we should take part in everything. So we decided that a big group of our friends will do the 1,500 meters. I've never done it before. We always did a lot of high jump and of course, Iswoy, my servant, the talent, right? So I had to live up to my name. But so we did all this and then we decided to do the 1,500. So we lined up, I was quite fit. Obviously playing a lot of sports, so I was quite fit. So we lined up for this 1,500 meters. So, and we started, we got going. And after a while, my buddy and I, we ran right to the front. This is easy. After sort of the first round, I thought, I should have done this a long time ago. Are we going to nail this? And then, during the second round, it felt like someone got on my back. Because suddenly, my leg started wobbling a little. And then came the third round. And then I decided, next time I'm going to fake an injury on the other side of the track. And I'm going to get off there because I'm not sure that I'm going to make this. And everyone started passing us. And in the end, when it almost lost, we decided we're going to finish this race. But we ended last because we were not prepared and equipped for that race. And I think that's the way many Christians live their Christian life. They are not prepared or equipped for the Christian race. Now the Bible talks about a Christian race. Let's go to Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 1. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a huge crowd of witnesses to the life of faith, let us strip off every weight that slows us down, especially the sin that so easily hinders our progress, and let us run with endurance the race that God has set before us. Talking to Christians, so we're in a race. And we, first of all, you're in the race. The second thing is, you have a choice of how to run. Because it says, you have to run it with endurance. We have a choice. Now, if we think of a race, immediately my head goes to, I've got to win. But this race is different. It's not a race against other people, although people do it. We make it a race. We check on others. We check on other people all the time. And we are worried more about how other people run their Christian race instead of just checking on ourselves. So the first thing is, this is not a race that we run against each other. And the second thing is, this is not a race that you have to run in your own power, because it's a race that you run in the power of the Holy Spirit. So it's different from that. So we need to get our minds a little off the normal race, because this is a different race. It's not to be confused with the rat race that we talk about, because the rat race is for everyone. This race is for Christians. That's the difference. We'll see now. Now, how do we run this race? And it starts with, if we start the verse, just put up the verse again, please. If you start the verse, it refers to, therefore, since we are surrounded by a huge crowd of witnesses. So, it refers to this huge crowd of witnesses. Now, who are they? That's the people we read about in the previous chapter, chapter 11. So, if you go to chapter 11, we'll see it talks about Abel and Enoch and Noah and Abraham, how they were the heroes of the faith. And it goes on with Isaac and Jacob and Joseph and Moses and then even the prostitute Rahab. And then it says, it doesn't even have time to talk about Gideon and Barak and Samson and David. And they are called heroes of the faith. not because they were supernatural or superhuman. They had mistakes. The Bible doesn't hide their mistakes. They were in the sin stages. David was a murderer, adulterer. But what made them heroes of the faith? They always turned back to God. They always relied on God to get things done, not on their own power. They ran the faith, the race of faith. So they became heroes. Those whose weaknesses was turned to strength and who became powerful in battle because of the Lord, not because of their own strength. And that's a wonderful thing. And so it says, therefore, if we are surrounded by these great cloud of witnesses, it refers to these people who completed the race. So the idea of this is that that should motivate us. If they can do it, we can do it. If they can fall in sin and turn back to the Lord and the Lord can use them again, so can He do with us. And it's not just the heroes from the Bible, it's every single Christian that went before us. Every single Christian that you know that passed on, that we can look at their lives and see, and we know their mistakes, we know how they fall and how they get up, but when they turn back to the Lord, then we can praise the Lord. And then they can motivate us, because if they can do it, so can we. So if we, now, how do we do this? So it goes on to say, let us strip off every weight that slows us down. Now, if you just think of the top athletes in the world today, what do they look like? They wear minimum of clothing. They wear the lightest shoes they can get. They're on the strong diets and the exercise program. They do everything they can to not to carry an extra gram of weight on them in the competition, because that can mean a difference between a record or not, or a gold medal or a silver medal or whatever. So you need to get rid of everything. And it's not the evil one or just sin that always hinders us. Sometimes it's the stuff that we don't want to do what we need to do. And sometimes throw off that every weight. If there's something holding you back, we need to get rid of it. If there's anything holding you back in any way, whether it be friends, whether it be whatever, we need to let it go. And sometimes we hinder each other. Because you see, the people run this race in a different way. So some sprint, they think it's a sprint. So they go flat out. And sometimes they do it like I did with 1,500. You start with a bag and then you get tired. We'll see. No. The word refers to that. So some sprint, some take it easy. Some think it's a joy ride. It's a joy run. They take it easy, laugh and chat, and we see that. And they don't take it that serious. And then others come into the race, and it looks like they're part of the race, but then they go out again. They're just there for some experiences. So people do it in different ways. Sometimes people sit in the middle of the track, they're part of the race, but they're not running. And they actually hinder other people. And we need to get rid of that. If that's you, in some way that you're in the way of someone else, get rid of that. Makes me think of a story of a pastor who preached about the talents in the Bible. One talent, the last talent, 10 talents. And he said, tried to encourage his congregation. And after the congregation, this lady came up to this pastor and said, thank you for the sermon, pastor. It was great. And I realized I have just one talent that the Lord's given me to keep this church on the right track. That's that talent of criticism. I need to keep on that. And the pastor looked at her and said, what did the guy with the one talent do? And she said, he buried it. And he said, you do the same. Somehow we need to get rid of whatever hinders us. And then we go on, and it says, if we go to especially what's the biggest problem? Sin that so easily hinders our progress. So another translation says, sin that so easily entangles us. And it's something that, and sometimes we tend to call sin bad habits. And sometimes we sort of justify ourselves and say, everyone's doing it, man. Times change. Sin. And well, how does it entangle you? It's not like somehow you get handcuffed and now you can't move. How does it entangle you? It's like a thin piece of string. If I come up, if I fall, I come up here and I tie his hand up with a thread, it's just a thin piece of string. It's no problem, you just break it. But what happens? That's what happens. We think, I'm in control, I can handle this. And the Lord's forgiven me, and he'll keep on forgiving me. But then what happens when I start going 2, 3, 4 times? And it's, I can handle it, I can handle it, and I can break it, and break it, until it gets so tight that I can't move. And I think there's my movement, if it's around your foot, then you can't. If there's a piece of string just here, and I take a step, it'll break. But then, the moment it starts attacking me, then I'm stuck. And then I can't run the race, because my purpose is to run the race. So I need to throw off everything, especially this sin that so easily hinders our progress. How do we do this? It's just one way. Luckily, whenever the Lord tells us to do something, he tells us how to do it. And he says, so let us run with endurance the race that the Lord has set before us. And now, and then it goes on to say, go to the next verse.
The next verse.
Let us fix our eyes.
Wat die een, Christo?
Sorry, verse 2, sorry.
Ek weet nie of jy hom
let us fix our eyes on Jesus.
Verse 12.
The author and perfecter of our faith. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus. So what does it mean? It means that the race that we starts with Jesus. He's the author. He starts creating. But he's also the finisher, the perfecter of our faith. It's only through Jesus that we start. It's like if I want to do the conference marathon. Let's say I go there and I get the date and I'm all fired up, I'm prepared, and I rock up on the day of the race, and I see the guys lining up, and I join them, and they bang, we're off, and I have seconds with me, and I run the race, and I finish the race. But when they hand out the medals, they don't call my name. And I can go up and complain. But if I haven't registered, or haven't qualified, I can run 10 conferences, I won't get a medal. You need to start. You need to register. You need to qualify to be in the race. And then you've got to run the race and finish the race. So the only way we can start this race, this Christian race, is through Jesus Christ. There's no other way. That's why people fall into the race and out of the race, and they don't start with Jesus. They're just part of some, it looks good, or I should be doing this, I should be following the Lord. But they don't start with Jesus. And the only way we can start through Jesus, the only way we can run this race is through Jesus. Can you put up now, Romans 6, verse 23. For the wages of sin is death, and we talk about the wages. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And that is the only starting point. That's the only way we can do this race, is through Jesus Christ our Lord. And if we look at Hebrews 4 verse 15, that's why Jesus is the only way. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. And that's our weaknesses that we say we struggle with the things that we want to leave behind. But we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. That's why our eyes should be on Jesus. Only on Jesus. And it's so easy nowadays to only read pieces every day, or books about it, or listen to sermons, so that other people tell you about what the Lord says. If you want to listen, if you want to keep your eyes fixed on Jesus, then you start with Jesus himself, his word, and trust his Holy Spirit to do that. Of course you can still listen to sermons, and of course you can read all these Gnostics and whatever, but that's interpretations of other people. And it's great to uplift us, but the word of God, the eyes should be on Jesus, not on some other guy that you're following. Eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith. And why did Jesus do this? We carry on with verse 2, Romans 12, verse 2. The eyes fixed on Jesus. Hebrews, no.
Verse?
2, please. The eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy set before him, what is this joy? Wasn't the suffering. He went through everything. He got cursed, he got beaten, he got eventually hung on a cross like a criminal. But why? For the joy that the people will start with him, that he will be, their eyes will be fixed on him, so that they can run this race. And the moment you start with Jesus, you gain eternal life. The moment that our eternal life doesn't start the moment you die, eternal life starts the moment you get into this race. That you accept the Lord Jesus, that's when your eternal life starts. So the finishing, God will help you finish. Jesus will help you to finish this race. And in his power. And the joy was for him, and now he sits at the right hand of the Father, feeding our cause, there for us, also encouraging us. And then it goes on, and therefore verse 3 says, Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. That you will not grow weary and lose heart, because Christians also lose heart. Christians also grow weary. But that's when we need to turn back to the Lord and keep our eyes fixed on him. And for nothing else, we get tired. So if you sit here today and think it's not in your situation that God turns up, or God is not, you don't know where God is in your situation. You don't know how, is he really going to heal? Is he really going to do this? Will I get through this? You need to read this verse again. Considering him who endured such opposition, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart. Because Jesus came, endured everything, so that we can have life and life to the full. Galatians 2 verse 20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. That's why I can keep my eyes on him. That's why I can run this race with endurance, because my eyes are fixed on him. He's the author and he's the perfecter of this faith. Through him I can finish this race. But then he goes on in chapter 13. In chapter 13, it's sort of the concluding to say, how do we run this race? This is what you can do. These are some of the things you can do. It's not all of it. I'll just point at some of them. Verse 13 says, Keep on loving each other as brothers. Verse 2, do not forget to entertain strangers. Verse 4, marriage should be honored by all, and the marriage bed kept pure. For God will judge the adulterer and all the sexual immoral. Verse 5, keep your life free from the love of money. Just like Timothy said, the love of money is the source of all evil. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. Doesn't matter where you are in this race, I'll be with you. I'm there. I will never leave you and I will never forsake you. So we can say with confidence, verse 6, the Lord is my helper, I will not be afraid. What can man do to me? Then verse 8 tells us that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. The heroes of the faith had their eyes fixed on God in the Old Testament. In the New Testament, all on Jesus. And for us, all on Jesus. And Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Eyes fixed on Jesus. And then verse 15, it says, through Jesus, therefore, let us continually offer to God a sacrifice of praise, the fruit of lips that confess His name. That's the way we keep our eyes fixed on Him. And do not forget to do good and to share with others, for such sacrifices is pleasing to God. So my prayer for you, for us, is to keep our eyes on Jesus, the author, the perfecter of our faith. Let us run this race with endurance, because our eyes are fixed on Him. Verse 20 and 21 conclude Hebrews by saying, may the God of peace, who through the blood of the eternal covenant brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, may He equip you with everything good for doing His will, and may He work in us, which is what is pleasing to Him, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Father, please help us. Please guide us. Holy Spirit, help us to follow wherever you may guide, wherever you may lead. Help us to run this race with endurance, with our eyes fixed on you, Lord, the King of glory, the author and perfecter of our faith. We give you honor, we give you glory. Help us to glorify you with our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.